position to receive. And that's what you just said, you know, and showing me in my own personal life, you know, that when I position myself to receive from the Lord, there's not anything God holds back from those. The Bible says he'll not withhold one good thing to those who walk upright. He won't withhold anything, not spiritually, financially, physically. And you're going to go through some things. I thought about while we was during praise and worship, just on the inside, I thought about I could see the children of Israel. I could see them down in bondage, just in my spirit quickly. I could see them down in bondage down there. That's where we was when we was lost. And then he sent the Holy Spirit. He sent Moses down there and let them out. Let them out. Seemed like into trouble, really, you know, and a lot of the place. But the Lord spoke to me. He said, I've led you out. He said, you're out. He said, and I'm leading you to the promises of God, into the promises. Our destination's heaven, but he wants us to occupy while we're here, you know, and live a good life here. He set us here to live a good life. And when we, you know, it's really, really simple if we just follow Jesus, follow the Lord. Whatever, you know, he'll deal with each one of us at where we're at on our levels of spiritual growth, our levels of faith, you know, and I mean, he will lead us and guide us. But then I saw when they got out there in the wilderness where work was going on, where you had to, you know, you had to trust God, in other words, you know. Well, they had problems with that because they had been leaning on that other system, you know, and it was hard to transition to them bringing you everything and giving you everything to you're having to trust God for everything, you know. And I saw that early on. But the Lord, I remember I was walking behind my trailer. This, I guess, we've been over here 15 years, so I imagine that's 18, 19 years ago, maybe longer than that. But I'm walking up through there, and the pressures of this life were weighing down on me, you know, business, ministry, home, you know, not enough money, all kinds of things, pressures, troubles, you know, just like the Word says, care of this world, choke the Word, and it becomes unfruitful. Well, it'll steal your joy, your peace, you know, steal your vision for your future, you know, and all that stuff, you know. But I was walking up through there, and I was going up to a shed that I had built up there, and I had some horses and stuff up there, and I enjoyed that. That was kind of like I'd get away, you know, from work and all that. I'd go up there and I'd start petting the horses and combing them, feeding them and all that. But I get to this little gate, and the Holy Spirit that you're talking about changes your life now. I mean, you know, you can get things at church, you know, through preaching, teaching, the Word and all that, and that's good. But it don't come alive till you're more aware of the Holy Spirit that reveals these things, like Sandy was talking about. Thank God for it, and I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I ask him to help me all the time. I talk to the Holy Spirit. I don't worship the Holy Spirit. He's part of the Trinity, but I talk to him every day. I tell him, thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing me the will of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for you know, revealing the power of God to me and manifesting things in this earth, you know, because he's real. But anyways, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, the hand of the diligent will bear root. And because I felt on the inside, I felt like that didn't come from my mind. I stopped, you know. And at that time, I would not answer the phone when the pressure was on at different times, you know, because in my line of business, 99% of the calls that I get are trouble. They have trouble. They, you know. And 99.9% of the calls that I get takes me from what I want to do to what I have to do. I have to do not my own will. Kind of like you going to work your regular job, you know. You're free from whatever time you get off till you're free. I mean, you're just free and everything. But you go sometimes when you don't want to go. I mean, it don't make no difference to work for yourself or the other guy or whatever. But see, little did I know where I would be today at that time. Little do you know where you're going to be in 5, 10 years from now. If you follow, if I follow at the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit and leading of the Lord, that consists of a lot of stuff, you know. We can't hold unforgiveness, you know. I mean, we can't, we got to be willing to be flexible in this ungodly world that we live in. I mean, but we got to be bold too. And scripture came to me while we were during praise and worship, where it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. He said, it says, whom you resist steadfast in the faith. Not sometimes. I mean, you continually, if you know a thought's coming from the devil, you know, about somebody, about your situation, or about your finances that don't line up with the Word of God, you got to resist it. I mean, you immediately resist that thought. That's what he's talking about. He said steadfast. Steadfast, that's diligent. That's being diligent. I mean, we got to be diligent to cast down thoughts. There was a song, a song coming to me today out of my head. I know the difference from my head and my spirit. You'll learn the difference. The Holy Spirit will teach you the difference of the thoughts coming from him, from the Lord, holy thoughts, godly thoughts, inspired God thoughts, or if it's the enemy, or if it's coming from your spirit man. And sometimes it'll come from your spirit to your head. But anyways, there's this song that back under, I don't know how long it's been and who sings it, but I done forgot now. I hadn't been in a secular music arena for 28 years. I don't listen to it, you know. I just don't. But that's my choice. I'd rather have my mind on the things of God, period, because that's what brings me peace and joy. People say, well, we didn't have no past for it to bring up a past. It ain't got nothing to do with bringing up the past. It's got to do with feeding our spirit man and our thoughts. You know, the Bible said, Paul said, think on these things, those things which are holy, those things which are good. Meditate on those things. That's what the scripture says. And there's a reason for the scripture saying that stuff. And when we're diligent, now I've wanted to listen to rock and roll and different things, you know, at different times, you know, missing the old life, you know. I enjoyed some of the music and all that stuff, you know. But being diligent not to, I know what I've missed out on, nothing. I've kept my mind stayed straight the majority of the time. But anyways, that song says, I'm digging up bone. So many things are better left alone. I don't know the song, but that part kept coming to me. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, you dig up old bones. He said, and you dig up dead stuff. He said, you can't live in your past. He said, you can't let your past rise and have my peace and my joy. Because I've failed a lot. I've failed in ministry. I felt like at times, you know, I mean, I should have studied more. I should have prayed more. I should have been a better father. I should have been a better husband. You know, even since I've been born again. But the Lord was telling me, he said, be diligent not to rehearse the past failure. Rehearse the past victory. He said, but don't dig up old bones. See, your past will haunt you. Just like, you know, I mean, I failed in ministry at different times, didn't do what I was supposed to do, and Satan would come and tell me, well, you won't never be anointed again. That was, and the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, if I believe I won't never be anointed, then I won't reach for it. I won't press toward the mark. I won't press into God. I won't even try to press into the things of God. So if your past is trying to come up and resurrect itself in some manner, you better kill it. You better knock it down. You better not rehearse it. You better not say it. You better not dig into it. You better leave it alone. Because it will take your spiritual life. It'll take spiritual things from you. And the hand of the diligent will bear root. And I know in my marriage, I had to do that. Me and Teresa had a past. Not a good one. Both sides. Not good. Not going into it. Buried. Gone. Burnt bridges. But you know, there's times when the past on tries to rise itself up. And far as my part and her part proves out, we're still together. We put it under our feet a long time ago, bless God, and we ain't digging up bones. I don't. I'm not going to. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Kids get hurt in school. You got to let that go. Let it go. Friends hurt you. You get into cliques. People don't like you. It's not that you got to have a bad, bad past for your past to try to resurrect bad things. They's a real devil. The Bible says that he's roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. It says, whom resists steadfast in the faith. He didn't say, y'all that are 50, or y'all that are 70, or y'all that are 10, or 8. I mean, you know, grandkids, they lie every now and then. Shocking, ain't it? See, it's just the nature, human nature. Human nature. And so, me and Teresa both, and I guess Travis and them, tell them, don't lie again. Just don't lie to us. Tell us truth. You know? And some people says, well, they're just going to be kids. No, it's not just about their kids. You know? No, man. I mean, that is, the Bible says, be holy, for he is holy, right? What that means is set apart. I mean, you know, it means he set us apart. It's not that we clean ourselves up and all of that, but we got to be diligent to rely on. We've been set apart by the Lord. Hallelujah. And we're set apart for a purpose. Those kids, our grandkids, our kids, neighbors' kids, whoever it is, they're set apart by the Lord. They belong to him. And so we've got to be diligent to administer that to them. Here, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we talked about the parable of the talents, where he give them 5, 3, and 1 talent. And two of them did something with it. Well, what that means to me and you, that was a parable. He's give us gifts as fathers. He's give us gifts as mothers. He's give us gifts as wives. He's give us gifts as ministers of the gospel. Hallelujah. He's give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's give us gifts. It's not just about, you know, the blessing of the Lord. The blessing needs to be on our marriage. It needs to be on our kids. It needs to be on our where we work. It needs to be, you know. But you know what? We got to be diligent. You know, I remember one time, Teresa, we had Travis and I think it might have been Bluntsville. I don't remember where he was at. But anyhow, it was mandatory for him to read books that had cuss words in it. We examined, or Teresa, especially Teresa, she examined what he read. And she read the book before he read the book. It was mandatory. So the cuss word was in there. I believe I'm right. But anyway, my point to that is, took it to the school. Well, that's mandatory. Well, he ain't reading. He's not reading that. He's not going, I don't care if it's mandatory or not. And it wasn't we were trying to, and if she hadn't, I would have went there myself. Not to be a bad parent, not to, you know, no, we're Christians. And we're not, that school, those books are not going to teach my son how to cuss. I didn't teach him how to cuss. And y'all sure ain't going to teach him how to cuss. And so anyhow, a little bit later, we felt the Lord wanted us to pull him out, and Teresa was homeschooling, but it was a challenge. But see, what I'm saying there, the hand of the diligent will bear rule. See, a lot of times the Lord spoke this to me. He said, many of my people today are not diligent for many reasons. Therefore, they suffer lack and loss. I'm going to give you scripture to back up what I'm saying. The Lord spoke that to me. He said, many of my people today are not diligent. Not diligent to pray. Not diligent to be the best worker that we can on our jobs. To be the best student in school representing Jesus in the classroom, in the lunch place, on the playground. You know, I mean, it just many things, you know, causes to suffer loss. Loss, you know, the wives. You should clean the house. You're anointed to clean the house. Well, my husband, he does all that. Help him. Nothing wrong with it. Get in there, do your part, clean the house. God's looking at all this. The hand of the diligent wife will bear rule. The hand of the diligent husband will bear rule. But Teresa was set out, and me and her immediately almost realized that children were a blessing from the Lord from the Scripture. Some of them in the Scripture couldn't have kids. And God caused them to have kids. They couldn't. They were a blessing. Kids are a blessing. And we realized that we had to be a steward over his life. Not just parents. Not just to tell him what to do and not to do, what you ain't going to do, but to help him develop as a child, normal. She realized, and I realized, and you know what? The homeschooling was frustrating. Going to school was frustrating. It was frustrating at times. It was frustrating to have to teach him God's way through it. And you know what? Teenagers don't understand, and that's fine. You know, when they think they know everything, that's when they don't know nothing. And we know it whether they know it or not. And later on in life, when they get up, now it don't mean that teenagers don't know nothing. It just means you got to watch those years of being young, because the ones that have done went before you are the ones that have sought God. And if you take hold of things that they've walked in with the Lord, it'll save you all the trouble they went to get where they're at in the Lord. You don't have to sprint through them waters. I was thinking about it today. When I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about Travis and Beth. You know, they've never been with anybody but each other. And I was thinking what a major, major blessing that is. And they got to make sure they keep it that way. They don't know the troubles of having a bad past. They don't know it, and they shouldn't. And that's great, and that's wonderful. And because I have had a bad past and overcame that bad past, that gave me the opportunity in the Lord to help those two in the beginning walk of their marriage that they didn't realize maybe they needed. But godly counsel to them, and I believe still today, that they can glean from our older in the Lord relationship, or not even necessarily older in the Lord, you know, but somebody that is walking with the Lord. And you know, y'all that's been divorced and all of that stuff, don't ever take it that I look down on. I don't. Things happen. Things happen in this life, but you can't live in that. And you can't expect the next relationship to end up like the first one or the third one. I mean, you've got to change your thinking. You've got to change your thinking of winning in that arena. Because people, I mean, if I was divorced today, I probably wouldn't ever get anybody, want anybody. But if I did, I wouldn't go in it with a mindset that this is the way I am and this is the way it's going to be. If I want a good relationship with somebody, you know, I would have to go in like, well, God, you brought this to me, Lord, and I'm going to walk this out just like I walked everything else out. And I would imagine if something happened to me, Teresa would do the same thing if she wanted to be with somebody, you know. You never know that would ever happen. And somebody might say, no, I would never do it, never. You don't know what you'll be 10 years. You don't know what kind of desire God's going to bring up in your heart. You don't know what God store for your latter years, so don't get that mindset. Two's better than one, and threefold cord is hard to break, cannot be broken, the Bible says. But the talents in Matthew 25, and he said it twice to the one that had five and the one that had three that did something with them. So we have the power of the word, that we're supposed to steward the word in our lives. We're supposed to be faithful to tithe. We're supposed to be faithful to give when God says give. We're supposed to be faithful to hook up with ministries. And the Bible says the hand of the diligent will bear rule. I was telling Travis today, I've mastered a certain part of being in business. I stay on top of things. I stay ahead of things instead of behind them. I've learned how to plan and to maneuver, but to be diligent. The Bible said, and the Lord spoke that to me 18 years ago, and the word don't change. If you'll be diligent as a father to seek the Lord, how do you supposed to be? He'll show you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll bring you preaching. He'll show you things in the Word. He'll change you through the Word. And He'll make you become what this Bible says you already are in Jesus. And you know what? Lazy. I mean, the Lord's speaking to me. If y'all lazy, if some of y'all lazy, you better get that lazy out. I'm telling you, you better kick it out. The Bible says the lazy will be put to forced labor. You put that scripture up there. Let them read it for themselves. Read. Let's read. God spoke to me. He said, diligent people prosper. Travis was sitting out the other day. Now, the harvest has came in, tomatoes and okra and squash. Never a convenient time. It's on my off day, 4th of July. You know, my corn's ready. My okra's ready. Whatever, you know, all that's ready. And it's 4th of July. I'm off, man. I mean, I'm off doing stuff, but. And I got up that morning, and I thought, well, Teresa can do it. She can do it. I work. I work all the time, and I want to go pump water and dig dirt and put a pool in, and she can do it. And I got up that morning, you know, and I thought, nah, man, you know, that's not good. I thought, put everything off. The harvest is here. And I'm not going to let my harvest. We went and planted that garden, hoed that garden, fertilized that garden. You know, and watered, well, didn't water, I should have, and the harvest has come in. Now, I can sleep in that harvest. I can forget that harvest. But you know what? I've got 20 jars of vegetable soup put up Monday. I got 14 jars of whole tomatoes put up Monday, you know. And Teresa said, well, she got up and she said, we could do that stuff today. I said, well, okay, you go do that. So I got in there, and we did it together. We did it till about 1 or 2 o'clock. I came in today from work, and she's on the porch, and she's done shucked all the corn. She's done went and picked all the okra and all the stuff. She done shucked, and she done made cream corn. She liked that cream corn, boy, and it was good. She cooked some. I had okra and all that. What I'm telling you that is, you know, I've let my harvest die out there before, over the years, by not being diligent, because I had too much going on to harvest. How many knows you can be that way spiritually, that you don't get a spiritual harvest? Well, two of the ones in there, the talents that he told them, the 1-5 and the 1-1, 1-2, the one that had two, the one that had one didn't do nothing with it, and he called him a lazy, evil, lazy servant. But the other two, he told them, he said, thou good and faithful servant. He said, you've been faithful over the few things. I'm going to make you ruler over much. And did you know that principle is the same today? If I be faithful father, he's done made me, I'm satisfied with my son today. I truly am. Now, he made his own mind up after he's 18 years old. He got to follow Jesus and do the things that he saw Dad go and do. And I wouldn't change that. If I had to go back, I wouldn't change a whole lot, because I set my heart to want to be the father that God wanted me to be and to show the example of a godly father to my son. And you know what? God helped me to fulfill that. I'm sure I could have did better and can do better today, but I'm pretty satisfied. Well, what I'm saying there is, I was taking that God-given talent to be a steward to a young man that is going somewhere in the Lord, already is somewhere in the Lord, and going somewhere in the Lord and going to lead others, you know, and I knew it. I thought he could be the next Kenneth Copeland. He could be the next, you know, he's got music. He likes music. He could be a praise and worship leader, and that's what he is today. But, you know, I could have thrown that talent down. He won't never be nothing, you know. It's just a doggy dog world out here, you know. I don't need to teach him, you know, how to honor his mother and father. No, I took those talents. Didn't let him disrespect Teresa in any way that I knew of. If he did, I'd stop it. You know, and all that. But you know what? I had to quit being lazy. I wasn't lazy about going out boating and motorcycle riding and building dune buggies. And I mean, I wasn't lazy in that kind of stuff. I mean, what I wanted, I wasn't lazy in it. But when it come to other things, you know, I had a problem. I had to die to myself. You mothers, y'all were responsible in part by getting the word in these kids. I mean, just like Aubrey, he pays more attention to mama than he does anybody. He's a mama baby, and ain't nothing wrong with that. So mama has to be the one that pours into that sponge more than anybody else. Godly attributes. And you know what? I didn't honor my mother. I really didn't. I didn't know how to honor my mother. And I was 18, 19 when my dad died. And I never was a Christian. But I became a Christian. And me and my mom had a bad relationship because I was rebellious and dad favored me in different things. I'm not just telling you my story. I'm telling you what God does when we get born again. He gave me a gift, the Holy Spirit, Sandy's talking about, and it says, honor your father and mother through the word, and then he gave me the word and made it come alive. So I made up my mind. I said, I'm going to honor my mama. I didn't have a chance to honor my father, but I'm going to honor my, and I even honor my spiritual father just like I would my natural father. You know, I mean, I honor him. I won't talk. He's not perfect. You know, he's made a lot of mistakes, but I don't look at them. I don't look at them. He's my spiritual father in the faith, hallelujah. And I honor him, and I bless him. I mean, any opportunity, I told him one time, I said, I got some stuff. I said, and anything I got, it's yours, anytime you want it. I said, now, Teresa's a different story. There's certain things you ain't getting, or lawnmower, or car, different things. I said, but anything that I've got, anything that I own all my life, you've got access to it anytime you want it. Anytime. I don't care what it is. And you know what? I never had that kind of respect for anybody. But that's the Holy Spirit did that work. So I set out in my heart, to honor my mother, you know. And it was a challenge to start with, to be honest with you. But you know what? I built that in my heart. I'm going to honor my mother regardless if my mother is honorable or not. It's not, see, the word's not got anything to do with whether they are honorable or not. They honor me or you or not. It says for me to honor my mother and father. And it comes with a promise. You know, there's rewards. Well, I had to be diligent to work on that and work on that and work on that, you know. And then, but little did I know that in my mama's last days that I was going to be what she called, gardenia. She had all the family convinced that I was her gardenia, legally. And I wasn't. I mean, legal guardian. That's what she made them all think. That this thing was legal, and you can't do nothing that without Scotty. Little did I know that I had to have that deep godly honor to walk out my mama's last wishes on this earth, and I'm one satisfied man and thankful to the Lord Jesus for the Word of God and for the Holy Spirit and for the help of the Holy Spirit that I'm standing today. And I still rejoice when I think about how my life changed till my mom was in her 80s. And I put her up in my own home, and she lived her last days out in a brand new remodeled house. And I told her it was hers. That was Jesus. I was believing God, see, and you know what? I had to be diligent. I mean, there was things that people wanted to do that she didn't agree with, and I wouldn't let it happen. And there was things, and I'm not going to say too much because they probably listened to me, and I wouldn't hurt nobody for nothing. It's not about that. It's about that I made up my mind to honor my father and mother. And I'm telling you this today, if your mom and dad is living today, you need to honor them. Whether they are honorable or not, whether they you feel worthy that they're honorable or not, it's not got any, it'll sit well with you. The Lord will bless that word. He will bless that heart. God rewards those. He said, don't be weary in well-doing. But he said, for in due season, you will reap if you don't faint. My mom got on my nerves. My mama did. She said in her ways, and I mean, you know, different things, and she would accuse everybody of stealing everything, you know, nobody stealing nothing. But I honored my mom. And you know what? In the last days, I made her believe she was in control. I didn't deceive her. But I made her feel independent. I made her feel that she was in control. I made her feel that she was in control. And she felt good, Johnny. She sure did. She'd put her kids right in their place. She'd tell them, I'm going to call Scotty. And you know what? I knew that it put hardship on them. I thought, but y'all put hardship on Mama all your life. They raised us. Well, see what God did. It was God doing that, and God knew that he was going to need me in place for my mama that loved Jesus. She didn't know all that I know about the Lord and, you know, and all that stuff, you know. But anyhow, he knew that I was going to need to be in place so he could fulfill that woman. He could fulfill her and give her the best life he could while she was here till 80-something years old. Now, you know what? I'm believing God that if me and Teresa needs that kind of honor, that Galatians 6:7 will work for us. You hear what I'm telling you? The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. So you know what? If you're reaping a lot of bad stuff all the time, you need to get the blood, and you need to get to repenting, and you need to get to shedding the blood, pleading the blood on past mistakes. Get it behind you. Get those behind you so they can't come up anymore. I know that sounds crazy, but the Bible says forgetting those things behind, right? You know, I stood up one time. I was listening to Huck on TV. He talks about generational curses. You know, I mean, I lived in a dishonorable family. Dishonored the police department, dishonored cops. I mean, my dad run whiskey. He was you call him a drug runner. He's a moonshine runner back yonder. Had a hearse back in the 60s, man. I mean, he made homebrew whiskey and stuff and run it, and, you know. And so, you know, I mean, I thought to myself in my early 20s, I thought this is how Miss Teresa is going to get wealthy. You know, I'm going to do pot. I'm going to do marijuana. You know, I'm going to be the biggest drug dealer Blount County's got. That was my thinking. But you know what? That come from my forefather. Some of that. Why? Because the same devil that worked in their life wants to work in my life. He wants to work the same thing. They call it generational curses. And so I stood up one day out on my porch, and I pleaded the blood of Jesus. I said, Father, I thank you right now. The buck stops with me. Jesus, redeem me from the curse, according to Galatians. And you know what? I had to be diligent on that, to bleed that and to get that in my heart and in my spirit and in everything, praise God. And then later on it changed, you know, and I thought, and somebody told me, they said, well, you know what? I could make you rich. And I left there, and I told the Lord, I said, nobody is going to say they made me rich but you, Lord. I got that out of your word, God, and you are all I need, Lord. I will end up in my latter years wealthy. And I had nothing. Had somebody in the truck yesterday working, partially working. Well, if I had the money, if I had your money, I wouldn't have. I said, no, you don't need what I got. You need to go and do what I do to get what I get. You don't need what somebody's got. that's successful. Paul says, follow after those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. Follow after them, pattern after them as they follow the Lord. Hallelujah. I see somebody successful that I know serves the Lord and diligent. I ask them what they do. How'd you get there? How'd you do it? Most time they tell me they don't know, because they're just like all the rest of us. They just following Jesus and following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And when God quickens them to something, they lay hold of it right then. And they can't give you a fine line of how they got there most of the time, because that's just the way our God is. That's why they say he's mysterious. You never know what God's going to do. He's just a mysterious God. He's not a mysterious God. He just works in ways our human head can't figure out. He works in ways we ain't figured out. He's not mysterious. And you do know what God's going to do. If you read that Bible, you know. He told Moses, go down to Egypt. Moses knew exactly what God was going to do. He told him, go down to Egypt down there, stuttering Moses. Go to Egypt down there. Tell him, let my people go. He knew. And it wasn't mysterious. Now, he didn't tell him, I don't know how he got across that sea. It don't say over there. I don't know. He might have already been over. I don't really know. I've wondered about that. How did he get across the sea? He might have had to sail over there. Who knows? I don't know. But that ain't mysterious. Brought him to the Red Sea and rolled it back. Oh, he's a mysterious God. Who had ever thought? Nah, he's God. He already parted that sea before he ever parted it. He already had the path laid out that he was going to take them before he ever took them to that place, that mountain. He led them to that perfect spot that he knew why he led them there. He led them to that perfect spot. God wasn't wondering which bank I need to get them out on. He's all-knowing. So he's all-knowing today. And you know, it's not... I mean, the more that we gain knowledge from the Word of God, the more that we can walk in the power of God if we are diligent in our marriage. I've got a successful marriage. Is it perfect? I didn't say that. We're not perfect. Man, Teresa's not perfect. but we have a good marriage. We have a good relationship with Travis most of the time. The only time I don't have one with him is if I'm in the flesh. I can get in the flesh and I can't get along with nobody. Then I think it's everybody. Well, everybody's in the flesh, reckon. It's you. It's me. It ain't everybody. It's you. Get it. Repent. Fast. Pray. Hallelujah. The Lord told me, He said, a lot of my people are not diligent to pray. They only pray when they won't get them out of trouble. He said, I want to hear from them. I want to hear from them. God, I just love you. I thank you today, Lord. Thank you for what you've did in the past for me, Lord. But Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, today. I don't care, Lord. I don't want nothing, Lord. I just want to, and you know what, praise God, he'll give you what you want. Well, I want friends. The Bible says if you want friends, show yourself friendly. I go through too much and everybody's on my nerves. That's why you ain't got no friends. You get around them and all you do is want to tell them what trials you're going through and what you're facing and how you feel and everything's bad and blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, I can't stay encouraged around people like that. It don't mean they're bad people. But if they were looking unto Jesus, they would be saying, hey, man, I know it's a Red Sea, but by God, he done rolled one back. He's already rolled one back and killed the enemies in it. Did you find out those kind of people? You say, Lord, are you going through anything? Oh, God, man, don't even get me started. Well, I didn't know it. Well, why do I want to tell you I'm going through that thing? Though, don't the Bible say in Psalms 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Even prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. and says our cup runs over. I meditated on that, and one time I thought, I got to have the fruit of this one. I'm reading it, but I don't see it. So, but God, I just meditated on it. I said, Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then I'd say, Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Till I could say that without going to it, and I got down to about the second or third day of doing that, periodically I would do that, until I knew where it was at without going to the Bible, I could see it. Hallelujah. Then all of a sudden, I get down to that, and I'm saying it again. I'm saying, look, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. And I could see myself sitting at a table, and my enemies all around me, and knowing that God was with me in the presence of my enemies. You know what? That happened right here in Bluntsville. I sat down in the presence of my enemies, and my cup ran over. I jumped up right here at the town hall in Bluntsville, and that Psalms 23 fulfilled after I had knew it over 10 years. That scripture came to pass. But you know what? I had to be diligent on that word. The Lord spoke to me. He said, tell them at church, just do a little more. Just be diligent a little. Work on something a little bit. He said, because the diligent prosper. Give me that 10:4, Beth. Proverbs 10. He says, the hand of the diligent will bear rule. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, diligent people prosper. I didn't say that. He did. God did. This is the book of wisdom. He said, he becomes poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Back off of going to church and see what happens. There's multitudes. You go to them, they're out of church today. Used to be on fire for Jesus. Used to be on fire to do ministry. Used to be on fire to get involved in the youth. Used to be on fire. And then they set fires in everybody else. I went to the jail one time so fired up, you know, about the Lord and all that, that dude, he gave his heart to Jesus. He said, my God, man, where do you go to church at? When I get out of here, I'm coming to church. I give him the address church. Dude got out and come to church, started going to church. You know why? That it spread to him. What was in me and coming out of me because I was being diligent. Yeah, I was going through it. I mean, I had several ministries going on less than a year in my life. I mean, I had 3 jail ministries, a street ministry in the summertime, faithful to church, and a full-time job. And I mean, I felt like fire was all around me all the time. I was just having to walk by faith. I was just having to walk and say, God, you called me and led me to it, Lord. You brought me through the Red Sea. I might be in the wilderness, God, but God, Caleb and Joshua made it to the promised land. And but God, I'm not going to look back in this fire that I'm in. I was complaining one time. I mean, I was going through hardship. I was in ministry and all that. Don't tell me about hardship. You're going through a little molehill. I've been over some mountains. I've had to have the grace rope. You ever know what the grace rope is? That's your very present help in the time of need. Look into the hills to where your help comes from. Your help comes from the Lord. Call the grace rope to me. Well, I'm complaining and just complaining because I'm caught up in what's going on in my life. I'm just caught up in the cares and all of that. Because it's real when you're going through stuff. It's really real in your life. But God's more real. But God is more able. He's able to do abundantly above, greater than I can think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. Teresa's in the closet praying. How many knows y'all wives ought to be praying for your husbands? They got a mandate from Jesus. I work all the time. What's that got to do with praying? You go on work break, right? You get a 15-minute break. That's a long time. Pray for your husband. Pray for your husband. God, strike him dead. Not that kind of prayer. Kill him, Lord. Change him, Lord. No, don't pray that kind of prayer. Say, God, thank you for my godly husband. He's ungodly. Don't say that. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God does man live. And if that wife prays for that husband, then those kids are going to see that kind of godly attribute in that house. And then if they got little girls, they're going to pray for their husbands. Pray for your husband. Well, my husband don't know everything. We told you that before you married him. No, he needs God. He needs God leading him. He needs you to do your part. You are a helpmate to your husband. And y'all young girls that will get married one day, that right now you wouldn't have nothing to do with the guy, go ahead and get ready on the inside and tell God, God, if you ever bring someone into my life, it's going to be a godly man. And God, I'm going to be willing to pray for them. You know, there's ministers right now that changed the world. They're done gone to be with Jesus, and they were lost without God. Actually, if they went to church, one woman, if she went to church, her husband would lock her out of the house. And she would just, I guess, go to sleep, and she prayed for her husband. Every time she'd go to church, she'd get in trouble. Who was that, Teresa? Smith Wigglesworth. Go read about him. 17 documented cases of that man raising the dead. Was it 17? I believe it was. Anyhow. A lot of them. After he got born again. What if his wife had just left him? I'm getting me a godly man. I'm getting me somebody that'll respect me. No, she had more integrity in the Lord than that. She loved the man. So she prayed and probably fasted. I don't know. How many knows prayer and fasting does a lot of stuff? But see, it's hard to be diligent in that when everything seems to be working against you. That same guy the other day, I went to another door company, got some backhand, some stuff for, and he made this statement. He said, "Oh, that's your competition. This your competition." Pretty close. I got out and I said, "I don't have none." I went over to that door company. I helped that door company, and that door company helps me. And we ain't about 5 miles apart. I don't got no competition. My God supplies all of my needs, right? If he supplies all of my needs, then I don't got no competition. I could be working at a job and somebody going to get the promotion before me, praise God, and I'm not going to get in competition in my heart. I'm going to say the promotion comes from Jesus. Now back on y'all wives for a minute. You got to be diligent at home. I remember one time Teresa, I know she won't tell me. After I got born again, I felt like that I'd got in control when the Lord told me. He said, "If you'll give her to me," he said, I'll keep." I said, "Lord, you know," I said, "I don't know how to give it." Anyway, it wasn't too long till this world tried to move in. My sister and them going to bingo and all that stuff, you know, and they just doing it for fun and blah blah blah. I'm not going to get into whether it is fun or not. I don't know. I guess it is. But I seen a lot of gambling taking place. I've seen a lot of addiction taking place, you know, going for that, you know. And so I just told Teresa, I said, "Listen to me." I said, she said, "Well, I'm just going to go have fun. I'm just going to go to have fun." I said, "Well, if you go, pack your clothes, pack your bags, take them with you." Y'all were quiet. I wasn't meaning that where she wouldn't help. I'll buy her a bingo table. We'll get her own bingo table. We'll get her own Monopoly table. We'll buy a casino. We just ain't going. We'll let somebody else run it. Well, you know, later on, people that we knew lost everything. They got addicted. They ended up losing everything. Lost their families, their kids, lost their faith in God. I thought about the scripture when I was telling her that. I wasn't telling her that to leave me. Listen, us men have to make choices, especially if we feel like that it's just letting Satan move in any way. If Satan's trying to maneuver his way in, see, I had this revelation that people, strangers, couldn't get to me. They just couldn't get to me. And I realized the Lord spoke to me one time. He said, you got to watch the enemy because he will get to you through people close to you that you love. He said, you got to guard your heart in those areas. He said, don't get mean and rude, but just don't let them in. Don't let them in. And every time I let them in, I get it. Right? I read the scripture over there where the Bible says to hate, which it don't mean literally hate, just it means to put him first, before our mothers and our fathers. That means when the Holy Spirit is leading us, even when it seems to be contrary to the way we ought to go or do or act with people, we need to hearken to that leading and be diligent to do it. I thought about it today. I thought I've got an honorable, a Proverbs 31 woman. Praise God. I don't come home to dirty clothes. I never have dirty clothes. I mean, they're in the basket, but I'm talking about where I go to that closet and I ain't got no clothes to wear. Whether it's church, work, swimming, I got them. They're in there. She makes sure of it. She even a little damp in my closet in there, and she's got them suck humidity out of the air in my closet. We can't have the same closet. She's got her own closet and I got mine. My closet's always neat. My stuff is always neat. She don't like what I'm bragging on her. I'm not bragging on her. I'm bragging on Jesus, because me and her both had a lot of dishonor toward one another before we got born again. It ain't got nothing to do with we figured it all out and we just know we following the Lord and following the Word. She went to a meeting one time to find out how to change me so she could be happy. Who was that about? It was about her. But she found out in that meeting through the Word that she was to honor her husband. And then she left there and started praying what she wanted in me, what she wanted me to be through the Word of God. And I believe that praying for me helped the Holy Spirit and the Lord. So y'all wives need to pray for your husband. He might not be worth a nickel on top of a Coke bottle, but that's not what it's about. I don't really want them to get better. They bug me. Well, who is that about? Who is that about? Just like the one working for me yesterday, I wanted to hire somebody to hurt him. Started to do it. But you know what? I'm praying for him. God touch him. God change him, Lord. I looked at him and I told him, I said, the way you're going right now, if you're alive 10 years, you'll be doing good. I said, I'm 55 years old and you're 40 whatever years old and you can't even get in the heat with me. I told him, I said, that's not good. I said, you're killing yourself with that lifestyle. Sin kills you. That life without God kills you. And I told him, I said, you're going to meet the Lord one day. Yeah, I'm going to meet him one day. I said, see, you fast for drugs. You know, when you're doing drugs, you don't want to eat. You get skinny. You fast. I said, you fast for drugs. I said, but I fast for Jesus. And then I told him, I said, stop cussing. I said, I'm telling you right now, stop cussing. I said, well, I'm telling you this because I'm not a big bad billy boy, but I ain't going to listen to that garbage. I'll put you out of my truck. I don't care if we're in Florida. Walk. I don't care. And I won't think nothing else about you. I told him, I said, I'm not cramming Jesus down your throat. I said, you ain't going to cram that cussing down my ears. I said, now I'm calmly telling you, I'm honoring you by not pushing Jesus down your throat. But you better honor me by stopping that cussing. I said, that boy right there has never heard me, to my knowledge, say one cuss word. He said, I don't care. And I said, I don't care if you don't care. You say, well, that's not very Christian-like. I got to show him how it is to be a man. I got to show him how it is to be a man that served God. I ain't ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed that I don't cuss up a storm. I'm not ashamed that Travis ain't never heard me cuss. I'm thankful that I can brag on Jesus done that work in me. It's him, Christ, who it's him that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But the Bible says he becomes poor spiritually. You can become spiritually, if you don't read your Bible, weak. You'll become spiritually weak. You'll become spiritually weak if you don't listen to preaching during the week. Listen to some good preaching during the week. Listen to some good preaching during the week. And listen to some good preaching during the week. Get your mind off of whatever you're doing and get it on the Lord every now and then if you can. But if you can become diligent in it, you will be made rich spiritually. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. How many know the harvest is great, but the laborers are few, the Bible says, Jesus said. See, the Holy Spirit can be bringing a revival to you and your soul, which he does, and he will. But you can sleep in the harvest. You cannot pray, and you cannot fast, and you cannot read the Word of God, and you can sit back and say, well, I just want to be happy as a mother, and I want to do what I want to do, and you're not happy. That guy yesterday, he ain't following the Lord, so you didn't expect it. I mean, there's nothing good he can say about anybody out of his mouth. Nobody out of his mouth. So I come in and I told him, I said, you know what? I said, you are a miserable man. I said, you're a miserable man. I said, you can't find not one good thing to say about nobody. I don't care. I'm telling you this story. I'm out in the world. I don't know where you at. But praise God, these heathens they're not gonna make me cow down like Jesus ain't got no power to deliver me, like I'm afraid to say anything, I'm gonna offend somebody. Well, look, y'all didn't care. They didn't care when my marriage was shot. They didn't care when I'm fixing to commit suicide. They didn't care when I'm coming up gonna feed teenagers a bunch of drugs to get rich off of. They didn't seem to care then. But now you get saved and you begin to walk with Jesus. You begin to go forward, and those that follow Satan, they're going to rise up at times. That TV's blowing up with ungodliness right now. All the way to the White House right now. They're pushing God out faster than they can right now. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? I'm gonna beef him up more in my life. I don't care. Push him out. Don't serve him. The Lord spoke to me. He said, son, you know that everybody's making their own choices, don't you? I said, yes, sir, I do, sir. I said, I absolutely know that. He said, you've made a choice to follow me. He said, and I'm making you wealthy. He said, I'm making you wealthy spiritually. He said, I'm making you stronger spiritually. He said, I'm building you up spiritually. I said, yes, sir. I know it, sir. Thank you, sir. But you know why? Because the diligent bears fruit. Now, we can sit back and think we're waiting on God to walk in love all we want to. But no, we have opportunity to develop that love. Travis, he told me, he said, I have been having to work on love for 3 weeks, Dad. And I was shaking. I put him in a trial yesterday. I didn't mean to, but I did. But he took it, and he come out good. He come out real good. So I told him this morning, going down the road, and me and him, boy, it's just peaceful. We're headed to work. It's just peaceful, you know. We pulled out on 278, and I said, hey, son. He said, yeah. I said, yesterday was just a reminder of how good it is today. Sometimes maybe you need to bite a little bullet so you can taste a little victory. No, you got the victory. So I want to encourage you. Give me that Proverbs. I got to close here. Give me that last one, babe. Be diligent at home, ladies. I went by the field of the lazy. Now, I looked up the word lazy in the Bible. And what that word means, let me read it to you. It's really simple. It's not you have a lazy streak every now and then. That word lazy is a person who is habitually, every day, day in, day out, lazy. I know a bunch of people like that. I know them that go to work lazy. They don't work. They put it off on somebody else. I mean, they do everything they can do not to have to do nothing and let somebody else do it. Lazy. They're only there to get paid. God don't want none of his people that way. They want his people there doing their work as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord, hallelujah. Not just men pleasers, doing eye service, but doing their work as unto the Lord. Now, the word diligent means showing painstaking effort, application in whatever is undergoing or undertaken in your life. Making painstaking effort. Well, just like today, that I own my own business. I mean, I can not go to work if I want to. I can call them, tell them reschedule and all of that stuff, you know. I can do all that. I will not put off today for tomorrow what I can do today. That's diligent. That's what diligent is. And the Lord told me one time, he said, if you will learn to be diligent, he said, you'll stand before great men. He said, you won't stand before broke men. He said, you won't stand before men that have nothing. In other words, it'll bring me and put me into a place to where I make major chunks. Major money. You too. I don't care. Working for somebody or whatever. Praise God. So I want to encourage you. Allow the Lord to help you to be diligent. Diligent in school, kids. Diligent to want straight A's. Diligent. You're representing Jesus. Ask him to help you to make straight A's. Help you to want to make straight A's. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen. And when you come out of whatever grade you're in, everybody in school ought to say they wouldn't fool around at all, buddy. When they're supposed to be studying, they're studying. They wasn't messing around. They were there to get their education and all of that. Praise God. Don't just live in the moment. School sucks. It's just blah, blah, blah. That's ungodly for you to be that way. You know, you need to serve the Lord in school. You need to serve the Lord. Be the best you can be in school. Let your teacher say, ooh, wonder what happened to them. That's a straight A, 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 a straight A. Boy, you're going to college. And then you can get some grants because you tried hard. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we thank you that we are called to be diligent.